Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible.
That's the most important part, that he is here. Let us go to prayer right before we read the scripture. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful, Lord, to be your children. Lord, we love your word. Lord, help us just to read what you have for us tonight, Father, to be able to express it how you've given. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the things that we should say, Father, would be open to our mouths, Father, and the things that we shouldn't, should our mouths be shut. Lord, we give all things into your hands now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the title here is The Three Must-Nots that Brother Branham talks about. And you hear a lot of churches and ministers talking about the things that you have to do. You should do this. You should do this. You should do this. Those are important. But I would have to say that these are the most important, because it's where the original fall happened, and the reason it happened. So, out of the three, we're going to start with misinterpret. And in Acts 20, 28 through 30, Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things." And this word, speaking perverse things, is misinterpret. And that's to draw away disciples unto themselves. And you see a lot of ministers will quote this scripture as if they're trying to say that, you know, somebody has said something wrong, or, you know, this or that, or try to give you some fear that you should, you know, reserve yourself when it comes to hearing the Word of God. That's not my intention for this scripture. The intention for this scripture is that speaking perverse things. And in the Greek, I'm not the Greek, the Strong's, the definition for misinterpreted is to pervert, to corrupt, to oppose, and to distort. And what did Satan do when he talked to Eve? He intentionally perverted the word. It goes right along with what you were speaking this morning. So just so you know, me and Brother Brian have a communication dialogue of maybe two, which is okay, because that goes to show you that God works on both ends. So if we're on the same page, we're talking to the same person, the things that God gives me should line up with the things that he just spoke this morning. And you say, well, that's impossible. It is. It's possible. I'll give you one instance. When I was in South Africa for a month on one of my missionary trips with Brother Frank, we got into a meeting at the racetrack, and we had to move inside because of the weather. It was horrible, started to rain and stuff like that. And one young man in particular, you know, was doubting whether God was real. And the brother, I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's a very good singer. Anyways, he was singing a song. They asked him to sing three songs. So he gets up there. The sister starts playing the piano. He sings the first song that he intended to sing. Now, this is little stuff, but this goes to show you how God works. He goes to sing the second song, and in his mind, he was singing a different song. But some young man in that congregation asked God, "If you're real," he said, "I want to hear that song three times." Now, is that impossible? Yeah, to the human mind, it is. Jim Hilton, he sung that song three different times, all the same, thinking he was singing three different songs. When I heard it the second time, then he gone on to sing it the third time, I was like, what, brother? I know we like this same song, Brother Jim, but man, three times. Little did we know that God was proving a point to that young man that he is real. Amen. So if you have something you need from God, if you need more understanding in his word, you think, well, I've never had God do that for me. He is more than able. So, what did Satan do? He perverted, he corrupt, he opposed God and his word to Eve, and he distorted it intentionally. So that's what Paul's saying here. They're speaking perverse things to draw men away from them, draw men away. So you have some person come into a congregation or a flock of people, and they'll start ringing a different bell, and it gets everybody's attention initially, doesn't it? Because it's different. But if you're not careful, if it doesn't have the right sound, they're trying to draw disciples unto themselves, intentionally perverting God's word. Brother Branham says, now in order to study this scripture, Paul told Timothy, study it rightly, dividing the word of God, which is truth. Them is the three must in the scripture. In using God's word, there are three things you must not do. Now let's study those for the next 10 minutes. Three things that you must not do, and all out in the land, wherever you are across the nation, be sure to put these down in your mind if you haven't got a pencil. You must not do these things. We tell you all the time how you must do. Now I'm going to tell you what you must not do. Now, we must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. And you must not misplace the word. That means taking quotes and drawing them together and trying to make it say something that you want it to say. That's why studying is a chore. Ask Brother Brian. He's been doing it way longer than I have. You have to read way before and way after the quote. What was Brother Branham's intention with that quote, even though it says the same thing? Because you can't take a series, say 10 quotes pop up, and you read through them all, and then you find one you don't like, and you just leave that one out. Right? You must not misplace the word, and you must not dislocate the word. And if we would do either of these, it throws the whole Bible into confusion and into chaos. Notice, to misinterpret Jesus in the form of God in a man, you would make him one God out of three. Trinitarianism. To misinterpret Jesus Christ being the Word, you would make him one God out of three. Or you would make him the second person in the Godhead. And to do that, you would mess the whole scripture up. You'd never get nowhere. So it must not be misinterpreted. And if you say there a certain thing, you must put an interpretation on it, and you apply it to another time. Like you, when you get into the book of Revelations, once you go past the fourth chapter, we don't come back in till what, the 19th. So you go read all of that stuff in between. That's fine if you want to know what happens to the Jews. But it has nothing to do with the bride. Now, if you want to call yourself foolish virgin, then maybe you should read those chapters in between, because you're going to be here for the tribulation and it might help you out. You put an interpretation on it and you apply it to another time. It's been applied to another time. You also make it an incorrect interpreting. If anybody misinterpret Jesus in the Bible of not being God himself, make him the second person or one God out of three, this would upset every word in the entire Bible. It would break the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right. It would make the whole Christian race a bunch of pagan worshipers, worshiping three different gods. See what kind of Bible you'd have? Then it'd make us what the Jews say we are. Said, which one of these them gods is your God? See? So you mustn't misinterpret the Bible. How do you know? for Jesus himself, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the interpretation of the Bible. And when he's made manifest in the age that the part of his body is being manifested in, we are up here, right? We're not down here where Paul was. If it was a hand age, it must be a hand. If it can't be a head age. If this is my quotation in black, it shall be light in the evening time. And when you find that light, walk in it. That's the manifestation of his word. If it's a voice age, well, then it can't be a foot age. See? And now we're at the eye age. And now the next is him himself to come. See? Prophetic. And that's Christ's mystery is revealed in his own word in 65. Brother Branham continues. Now I've got something else in my heart that I've been warned of the Lord to do. So move to pertaining to this tabernacle and this church, that I must go there or somewhere for a short time. It's for a purpose and a great purpose, a purpose that you know nothing about. If you listen to enough of Brother Branham, there's a dry spell in Brother Branham's ministry where I don't believe he hears from God for over a year. Now, can you imagine being a prophet? Everything that God has done in your ministry and what you are to bring to this age, and then go a year without hearing from the Lord? It happens. It happened to every single prophet. Go back and read the Old Testament. They would go months and years and not actually hear from the Lord. Should that sway you or make you doubt his word? No, that should make you dig in and know and be even more attentive to hear when he does speak. But remember, I'm just not rattling around because I act like I am. I'm working in the will of the Lord as far as I know how to work in it, see? That's the reason if you believe what I say, then do what I say, see? And that's true for me and you right now. Then listen to me and believe me as your brother. If you believe me to be a prophet, don't misinterpret my words. If there's anything, so help me. If there's anything that should know that God would tell me, God knows I would tell you just exactly. And don't add to it or take away from it. Just do just the way I say it, see? Because I'm telling you from my heart, the best that I know, see, you just believe that. Just take what I say about it and just let it go like that. All right. And that's from Questions and Answers in 64. Now, someone said, well, that seven seals then, Brother Branham, that will be revealed in the last days, some great mystery, how we get closer to God. No, sir. It can't be. Whosoever shall take one word from this Bible or add one word to it, his part will be taken from the book of life. What is it? It's a revelation on what has been missing back there to bring. It's already wrote here. It's in here. It's to reveal what already has been written. See? Because you can't add one thing to it or take one word from it. The first chapter in Revelations of the Bible in the beginning, Genesis, one woman didn't misbelieve it, but just misinterpreted it. Let Satan misinterpret it to her. What is the type of the woman? The church. One word, surely. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? And then from that caused all the trouble, and that was God speaking God's word. And in the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus himself, the same God, said, whosoever shall take one word out or add one word to it, his part would be taken away. And that's from the Feast of the Trumpets in 64. How the Holy Spirit, as I say, which is the defense witness, he is called. This is from the trial. The first thing he wants to call the defense witness, the Holy Spirit wants to call to this court case, that the prosecutor is not interpreting the word right to you. he wants to call to your attention too that this prosecutor that's giving you the interpretation of the word, that's representing the world and unbelief, is the same interpreter that Eve had at the beginning. He misinterpreted that word just a little bit. Now, I might stop here in the court just a moment and say this. If God caused all this sickness and sorrow and death upon the earth, if he had to do it because of his justice to keep his word, he cannot be just and not keep his word. Amen? If God said it, he is going to do it. Then the only salvation and saving grace that you and I have is the blood covers it. To keep his word, he cannot be just and not keep his word. He's not a man that he should lie. He's a spirit. He's got to do to keep his word. To be just, it's becoming of his holiness. It's becoming of him. And if Eve, not just, Satan did not, the prosecutor did not misinterpret the whole thing. He just misinterpreted one word or so, and it caused death to strike the whole earth, and every hospital and every siren and every rain, every death that ever died, every struggle that man on the battlefield, every poor little sick afflicted baby, and all was caused by disbelieving just one word of God's word. And if it caused all of this for disbelieving one word, how are we going to get back disbelieving one word? Got to be something that God has to judge the world by, and that's Jesus Christ, the Word. We must believe it all. So you hear people that even take Brother Branham's message in this Bible, and they start going through it, and they're, you know, that's just genealogy. Don't need that. Go through here. Before long, you'll end up with just the cover of the Bible, and you'll find that one little word in there where it says Jesus was God. That's a revelation. And that's all you got because you threw the rest of it away. How can you do that? We must believe it all. You think God sent his prophet in our day to get up and preach 1,400 sermons just to be talking? No, brother, sister. Every single word is important. It's the same as the Old Testament is versus the New. You can't have half. Say, all I want's the New Testament. No, you have to have the whole, the Old Testament as well to make the whole. We must believe it all. What is a gift? What is a gift anyhow? Not to take something and use something. Say, I got a gift of healing. I go out and heal this one and heal that one. If I could, I certainly do it. Now, it is but a gift. You misinterpret a gift. A gift is just get yourself out of the way and let the Holy Spirit use you. That's the gift. Every one of us has that gift. The prophet come in our time, he is the last messenger to the world. We believe that, right? We have a ministry. The bride has a ministry. If you go to the doctor for an infection and they give you that bottle, has penicillin in it, and you take it home and you're like, wow, that's a beautiful bottle. Look at all those pills. And you put it in the cupboard. And you don't take what the doctor gave you. What happens? You become septic. Next thing you know, you're in the ER and no antibiotic will touch it. Your local doctor come down to you and say, what is the matter with you? I gave you the medicine and you did nothing with it. That's misinterpreting what he told you to do, right? That's what a minister is. He don't preach what he wants to preach. He just gets himself out of the way. It's a gift of inspiration that comes, and he speaks through inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the other gifts the same way. Just so you know, I'm a little tired. I spent all day doing an air show for me. And then I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning and God preached to me for 2 hours. I could not go back to sleep. All I had was quotes running through my mind, scriptures going through my mind. So I'm tired. So no excuse. It's okay. I love to listen to that. But, you know, some people would have rather stayed asleep. Now, the ministerial gifts and so forth has been, there is the first of God's given gifts, is first apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. That's the offices. That's our gifts. Amen? God's a provided way for this day in 64. And now in Africa, I asked them if they had been reading the Bible the missionaries give them. And they seen what the Lord Jesus did then, and what he did then, he will do now. I said, he is risen from the dead. He is no more dead. He is alive forevermore. And he is here in every meeting, and where many, many tens of thousands of people had gathered. And when I asked them, I said, now, what did our Lord Jesus do when he was here on earth? The thing that he did, he never claimed to be a great person. He said he could do nothing within himself. Just what the Father showed him to do, that's what he done. That's what we do. That's our ministry. That's our bride ministry. God's not dead, nor will he be mocked. We have something to do. And if you sit around idle, you will be judged because you have been given the truth. St. John 5:19, he passed through the pool of Bethesda where many crippled and afflicted people were laying. Many of them helpless, perhaps, thousands laying there. Can you imagine? Halt, blind, withered, he passed by them without healing them. When sometimes wonder how with full of love and compassion and the fullness of God could walk past all of that, he could do that. But we misinterpret what love and compassion is. He walked to a man laying on a pallet and said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, no one can help me in the water. He could walk, but said, while I'm coming, someone steps down before me. Brother Branham said he probably had prostate trouble. You're sitting there waiting for the water to boil. You get tired. Maybe you fell asleep. He said, take up thy bed and go into thy house. And the man was made whole, walked away, and left the multitude. We wonder at that sometimes if we don't have spiritual understanding. Jesus said to the Jews, the very same chapter, the 19th verse, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and the Son worketh here too. The Father worketh, and the bride works here too. No prophet, no time, any man ever possessed the power to do this, do it in within himself. Just as God will reveal it, Jesus said there was many lepers in that day, in the days of Naaman, but only one was sent to him. Just one leper was healed in the days of Elijah. One leper, because God sent him there. Elijah knew on the Mount Carmel when he laid the sacrifice, he said, I did all of this at your will and at your word. Taking God at his word. And that's from Manifestation of Thy Resurrection to the people of this day in 54. Now, we will call the defense witness. The defense witness of that defense that God, the defense witness for God is the Holy Ghost. Bring him to the stand. Let's hear his testimony. My, first he calls to the attention to the prosecutor's misinterpretation of the word to the people. That's right. For he is the same interpreter that Eve had. He is the same interpreter that Eve had. Oh, surely, this is all right, but this ain't. This isn't. See, the same interpreter. The prosecutor is because he's a devil. And the same one that God fortified his children behind his word. And that very first time you step out from behind it, you're a target to the devil. But he can't get you as long as you're fortified by the word. Now, let's just take hypothetically some random minister that is trying to distort this small quote right here. If you walk out those doors and you don't show back up here on next Sunday, you're a target to the devil. Have you ever heard that before? I have. What is that doing? Installing fear. Why would you do that? because you're a Nicolaitan.
Yep.
You stand behind God's word no matter where you are. You don't got to be in this building. This isn't God. This is. That is. 2 Peter 1:16 and 20 through 20. For we have not followed cunning and devised fables. Amen. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. This is a different translation. I apologize, I didn't put it down where it came from. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I have nothing to say to you, brothers and sisters, except for what is in here and that our prophet already put down. Amen? How many times the 23rd Psalm has been misinterpreted by people? You hear them say, though I walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't even read that at all. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say dark. Dark's not there at all, see? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and before there could be a shadow, there has to be a light to reflect that shadow. So it's not pitch dark, brothers and sisters. There's still light. See what I mean? If it was all dark, there'd be no shadow. So it has to be light waiting there to reflect the shadow. And the only thing it is, it's just a shadow. Boogeyman. And nobody's scared of a shadow, are we? So that's all death is to us. Since Jesus died in our stead, death is just a shadow. Just something that we pass through. A little place, and that's all. Nothing can keep us from the promised land. God's already promised it to us. Jesus died for it. The Holy Ghost accepted us, baptized us, and sealed us unto the day of our redemption. We're on that road. Everything's got is going to be all right. Amen? He promised it. There's where you have faith like Abraham. It's a promise. It doesn't matter what this flesh has to go through, brothers and sisters. As I've told you before, my trials are coming. I know they are. When they do, what will be my reaction? Same as Job's. Same as Moses, Elijah, all of them. Take God at his word. And that's from True and False Vines in 56. How that the devil says that same thing to the church tonight. The Bible's misinterpreted, and it doesn't mean the same. It was only for another generation. But, oh, my friend, let me say this tonight. It's for so whosoever will. Let him come. Just as forceful tonight as it was the night it fell, or the other day it fell from the lips, the man, by rejecting this pardon because it wasn't enough wrote out. The man then to reject it was executed the next morning. And then here is the governor's pardon, and here is the man's execution after the governor had signed the pardon. So it was tried in federal court, and the decision came to this. And I want every one of my listeners tonight to think this really seriously. And when the decision of the federal court of our land, the Supreme Court, rather, of our land, made this decision, here's what it said. A pardon is not a pardon. It is not received as a pardon. A promise of God is not a promise of God, except it be received as a promise from God. In God's pardoning grace, God's divine healing is property of every believer, if it's received as that. But if it's turned down, then it's none effect. God is not guilty because he's offered it to you. Hear ye him in 56. And now we'll call the defense witness to the defense, and the defense witness now is the Holy Spirit. Now he comes and takes the stand for the defense. Now the first thing he wants to call attention to court, hallelujah, amen. I thought I deleted a few of these quotes because I added a bunch at the end. And Brother Branham goes on. And he came around and misinterpreted the word. Therefore, when man come out from behind the word of God, what does it make them? He is not defended by God, but you see, Satan was the interpreter of the word to Eve. She wouldn't listen to her husband and go to God, but she took the prosecutor's interpretation of the word, and he has no right to give an interpretation. And neither does any man have a right. Amen? I have no opinion. God, his own interpreter. God is his own interpreter. He doesn't need us. He keeps his word. We believe. Now, he wants us to call our attention to that, and that's the same interpreter to the first words of God that was spoke, is the prosecutor who's trying to bring indictment before this court this afternoon of the same one, and he's misinterpreted the word. That's the first thing the defense wants to say. Now, he wanted to bring this to your attention, amen? And that's from a trial in 64. Now, the first church age would never notice that. The Methodist church age would have never noticed it. The Baptist church age, they never noticed it. The Presbyterian church age, they never noticed it. But the Pentecostal was so close to the real thing. Why? Because it was wrapped around the life. You could barely get a razor blade between it. You got to pound it and break it off. That's where the wheat, the shuck, is almost like the wheat. They would never notice it, see? They wouldn't. But in the last days, this day, yes, sir. Notice, just like it was in the beginning, so will it be at the end. As Eve was just misinterpreted one word Satan did to Eve, and she believed it, she, not he, the church, not him, see, the church, they just misbelieved one word. The church was the one that got the false word, see, not Adam, Eve, not the Christ, the church, not the bride, the false, the anointed supposed to be, calls herself the bride, see, she's got the false word. Can't you see that? Why it laces together like a shoestring, like the lashes on your eye? Why everything you'll turn to, the Bible, it just lashes it right together. That's why you can't take part of this and tear it out and then expect it to be whole. The bride today, so-called, believed it, not the Christ. The bride has all kinds, so-called brides, same signs, same wonders, same everything, but not the real one. Deceive the very elect if it was possible. Thank the Lord, it's not possible. The anointed ones at the end time from 65. And in 2 Timothy 2:14-19, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So what does that mean? It's perversion. They strive not about the words to, they're just up blabbing in front of the people about nonsense. There's no life in it. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their words will eat as doth a canker, and of whom is, I'm not even going to try to pronounce those two names. Who concerneth the truth have erred, saith that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of son. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen? Amen. Brother Branham says, For in the beginning of the Bible, man was given the word of God to live by. One word misinterpreted by a man called Satan in a person of an animal called the serpent, Satan, in this person could talk to Eve and misinterpreted the word to her and was lost. See, it must be every word. In the middle of the Bible, Jesus come and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God when he was tempted by Satan. Amen. Now, God telling us here in the last days, the God of this world will rise up in the last days, and whosoever shall add one word to it or take one word from it, his part shall be taken from the book of life. God be merciful to us, and let us not walk as stiff shirts, chest stuck out, head up, know it all. For we too one time were in disobedience. Let us with grace and mercy and feeling in our heart towards God humbly come to the throne of grace. Amen. That should be every one of our prayer. For God in this evil age in 65, Brother Brown says it made so much difference until Paul commanded a bunch of Baptists that they had to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ before the Holy Ghost would ever come upon them. And also called that the apostles to scream out and said, if an angel come from heaven and preaches anything else, let him be accursed. Sure, it makes a difference. Oh my. There is no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost in these days. That was only for the apostles. Can you imagine? It passed, and it's such a thing as the prophets. There's no such thing as the prophets. It's not even known of miracles. They're unscientific. Malachi 4. That was for another age. John 14:12. Oh, Jesus didn't really mean that. Luke 17:30. Oh, that was just the miss. See, it wasn't in the original. Such tommy rot. When God Almighty comes down in our midst and proves it, when he says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's what he means. He proves that so. I don't care who says not about it. God interprets his own word. He said he would do this thing in the last days, and there will be light in the evening time. And there is light for the manifestation of the Son of God. Amen. For the same sun that arises in the east is the same sun that sets in the west. The prophet said there will be a day that could not be called day or night. It's dismal. The clouds as over the face of the sun, but said about the evening time, it shall come light again. That is our age. That same sun, he is the Alpha and the Omega. The same sun that rose in the east was predicted to rise in the west again. And in the last days, just before it was over, I don't know how they interpret it. God interprets his own word. He proves it. This is the evening time from God of this evil age in 65. 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. Amen. Truly predestinated believers stay with the word and they won't pervert it. It can't be perverted. Oh, sons and daughters of God, why can't we have this great fellowship that we ought to have with all the sons and daughters of God? We should have it, but they just won't do it. That's all. Because they're not truly sons and daughters and I'm not going to guess what those words are. The power of transformation in 65. Amen. Why can't people get along? Arguing over a comma or a diphthong or the word he. Nonsense. It's nonsense. I believe every single word that God's prophet spoke to us. If they don't, then good riddance to them. We've seen that here, brother and sister. Revolving door, people coming in and out. I got to thinking about this morning, there's only one couple in here that is the original since I started coming in Ohio. Brother Michael, Sister Helena. They're the only people, if every one of you left right now, they're the only people that are here when I arrived. You say, Brother Brian's pretty hard. I don't care. I'm right with you. If you can't stand up here and say what the prophet said, if it hurts your feelings and it slices away, then so be it. A true son of God, a daughter of God will take it. Amen. And build upon it. Why? Because it is us. It's part of us. If you look at this statement of Eve real close, you will notice that she had more of an understanding than most realize. She did not attribute the son that Satan for that would have made him equal with God. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Only God could create the egg in the womb of Mary. Satan couldn't do that. Eve knew that. Satan could only pervert. So he beguiled her with the wrong seed. It was the serpent's seed that brought forth Cain. It was Adam's seed that brought forth Abel and Seth. Those seeds went through exactly the same process. But the children were different, for they were from different seeds. She believed that Cain was from God. And that is partially true. God is the only person that can give life. But it was a perverted seed. She accepted the devil's lie as truth of God. That is exactly what we have now. Churches set themselves up as foundations of the truth, but the truth is not even in them. Yet they've begotten children, swear by them, and will even kill to uphold their error. You say, well, you take somebody that has been accused of this. Oh, I don't do that. No, but your mouth did. Just because you didn't pull out a sword like they did in David's time and slay the giant, you did by your mouth. They'll even kill to hold up their error. Why? You know this. Because once you start a lie, it has to keep growing. You got to cover it up with this. And then you got to cover it up with this. And it was only this. You could have just said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I placed it under the blood. Forgive me. At this, but no, it keeps going. And then there's no point of return. And they will kill you to cover it up. If you think that's an exaggeration, read all of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the first five verses of chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. That's our time, just so you know. And his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That means do it with compassion. I'm not up here to beat you with a bullwhip, and neither is Brother Brian. We'll simply tell you what God said, what he has given to us to put on his heart. If, as the old expression goes, if the shoe wears, fits, wear it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering as in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they will heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll go to the church up the road because that pastor lets them do what they want. They say, well, I can worship there. Sure you can. False. Having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof your ministry. And that's from the Expedition of the Seven Church Ages, the Sumerian Church Age. And yet it is in the harvest time. There then must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and the tares up to maturity. That's the fivefold. The terrors are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. But the wheat also must mature. And to her, God is sending the prophetic messenger with a vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. That's us. Amen. We have thus saith the Lord, and we know what to do with it. What do we do with it? We apply it. We dress ourselves. They will hear him, as the first church heard Paul, and she will be mature in the word until becoming a word bride, that the mighty works will be found in her that are always attended upon the pure word and faith. Amen? Amen. And that's from the resume of the church ages. Now watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Notice above all that it is the deliberate maneuver of the clergy. That's people that stand behind this desk. Not talking about me. If you guys ever hear something that comes out of my mouth that ain't right, you have a duty, as Brother Branham said to himself about his word, to come to me. And if you don't, that blood will be on your hands. Notice above all that it is the deliberate maneuver of the corrupt clergy to bind the people to them by leading the people deliberately into the sin of unbelief. The Nicolaitan doctrine was the corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves. Well, you know, Brother so-and-so, he's the Pope of the message. And then you have this apostle here. Then you have that apostle there. Then you have you little guys down here. Nonsense. God's not a respecter of persons. The power amongst themselves, while Balaamism is the subjection of the people in their systems to what? Creed and the worship in order to hold them. Now watch this carefully. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroyed them? It was the creeds and the dogmas formed in the church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were not given the true food, the word. They were given the food that came from idol worship, Babylonian paganism wrapped up in Christian terminology. And that very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst all the Protestants. And it's called what? Denomination. Nicolaitism is organization. That's where amongst our ranks, we have to be so careful. Humanizing the leadership of the church. If you know you guys' Bible, the least person among you is standing right here, right now. Humanizing the leadership. I'm not up here to lead you. I'm up here to point you to the one that is supposed to lead you. Who is that? That's the Holy Ghost. And thereby deposing the Spirit of none effect. Balaamism is denominationalism. Well, that's a hard one to say. Which takes the church manual instead of the Bible. And right to this hour, many of God's people are caught in that snare of denominationalism. And God is crying to them, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Amen? You see, they were ignorant, meaning they were unlearned, they didn't know. But God is not unjust. Somewhere, sometime, they've been warned. And if they don't hear, then they weren't seed to begin with, right? But if the rapture should take place this moment, ignorance would be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. Amen. And that's from the expedition of the seven church ages, the resume of the ages. Like Adam, the woman you gave me, or in other words, the pastor you gave me. Yeah. What? You get to the throne and you beat that pastor you gave me, God. He didn't tell me this or that. The woman you gave me, Like Adam, he's trying to bargain and argue with God. You can't hold us responsible if we've said everything that he has for you to hear. You are blind and naked. Now, this is really desperate. How can anyone be blind and naked and not know it? They're not physically naked, brother and sister. They don't have the word dressing them. They don't have patience. They don't have peace. They're always at war within themselves. Demons rise up. Why? Because you haven't applied God's word. You took home the medicine that God gave you and you stuck it in the shelf. Now, if this isn't for you, there's people watching, okay? Yet it says that they are blind and naked and can't perceive it. The answer is they are spiritually blind and they are spiritually naked. Do you remember when Elisha and Gehazi were surrounded by the armies of the Syrians? You recall that Elisha smote them blind by the power of God. Yet their eyes were wide open, just like the men that were on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know they were standing before the Lord. They could not see where they were going. The blindness was peculiar in that they could see certain things, but the other certain things, such as Elisha and the servant and the camp of Israel, they could not see. What this army could see did not avail from them. What they did not see brought on their captivity. Now, what does this mean to us? It means exactly what it meant back there in the early ministry of Jesus. He tried to teach them truth, but they would not listen. John 19:40-41, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? I'm sure that was a smart aleck remark. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They willingly walked in their own ignorance. The attitude of this age is exactly what it was then. People have it all. They know it all. One particular person comes to mind. I'm not going to say a name. But I wouldn't go hear that brother preach because every time I go in there, he doesn't say anything I ain't ever heard before. What? Same, it's the same old devil. They cannot be taught. If a point of truth from the word comes up and a man tries to explain his view to one with an opposing view, the listener is not at all listening that he might learn. People come to church and they'll sit in a pew and the only thing they hear is the thing they want to dispute you with. But is listening only to refute what the Holy Spirit has been said. Now I want to ask a fair question. Can Scripture fight Scripture? Does the Bible contradict the Bible? Can there be two doctrines of truth in the Word that say the opposite or oppose the other? No. So when you come along and you say, well, I just can't get Godhead, but you want to stick to that one thing where Brother Branham says Jesus was God, and you go flush down the toilet the rest of what God said by his prophet, there remaineth very little for you, brother and sister. Can there be two doctrines of truth in the word that say the opposite or oppose the other? No. It cannot be so. God's not a house that he should be divided. Yet how many of God's people have their eyes open to that truth? Not even 1%, as far as I know. Have learned that all Scripture, cover to cover, is given by God, and all is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, etc. If all scripture is thusly given, then every verse will dovetail if given a chance. Yep. You say, well, that just doesn't work with that. Okay, there's where I will allow you, as your brother, to put that on the shelf. I hate that saying, just so you know. It's kind of like my last boss prior to moving here. If I walked into his office and he asked me a question about something, and I said, I don't know, he'd probably throw something at you. I don't know is not the right answer. The right answer is, I will find out and go get it done. It's the same way in God's word. When you walk up to the throne, the answer is not going to be, my brother and sister, I don't know. You do know. And if you don't know, it's because you didn't go find it. Yep. Those who don't, will they listen? No, they will not. Yet both are in the word. Can you believe that? And nothing will change it. But to learn about it and to reconcile the truth of those doctrines with the other truths that seem to oppose, they don't. They will not take their time, but they stop their ears and they gnash their teeth. Have you ever talked to somebody about something and they literally get livid? Like demonic? I don't know if you guys have ever had that happen, but I have. They literally come unglued. Why? Because Satan knows he's been trapped. And they lose it. They lose out. At the end of this age, a prophet will come, but they will be blind to all that he is doing and saying. They are so sure that they are right, and in their blindness, they will lose it all. What does the scripture? To them that think they have will be taken away, even that which they think they have. Who is that prophet? Can I ask you? No. It's our age. The Holy Spirit. Will they listen to the Holy Spirit? Will you listen to the Holy Spirit? He's the teacher, brother. He's the teacher, sister. Will you listen to him? A lot of people won't. We are led by the Spirit. We're not collective as a group. I'm not on the same level as Brian. Brian's not on the same level as me, but we're all going to be there. Right? If you don't have the ability to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, as Brother Branham said, don't get off your knees until you do. It's that important, brother and sister. There'll be those that come in amongst us that want the oil that you have. Can you give them the oil you have? You can't. God has to give it to them. And at that time, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. You have enough for you and your house. We have a work to do. I didn't put my scripture in the end here. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We are his voice in this hour. We don't go out and do what we want. I'm not saying we're going to call the rapture. But we will be speaking what? His truth. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we hear all the time, Father, from your prophet and the ministers that we've grown up around, Father, the things that we must do. Father, the things that we must not do, I feel, Father, are more important. Not to misinterpret, to mislocate or dislocate your word, Father. Father, give us the ears to hear. Father, for that is what we, the bride, have, is the ability to hear your Spirit, Father. Keep us in the path, Father. As the light comes to us, Father, in the light in this evening time, Father, I pray, Lord, we continue to walk in it. Lord, continue to bring us what you would have us to hear, Father. Lord, as we get ready for communion now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would sanctify each one of us, Father. We place our misfortunes, our disbeliefs, or whatever is stumbles before us, Father, as the small foxes, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would cover them with your blood now. Forgive us, Father. May we come to your holy table, Father, to receive communion and to partake in foot washing, Father. We may be righteous, and we are only righteous through you, Father. We thank you for everything that you do for us now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.